John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. One of the beauties of the Word of God is to see how often the Lord Jesus Christ is presented in Scripture. There are over 300 titles and descriptions of Christ in the Word of God. This morning we're just going to focus on one for a few minutes, and that's the fact that Jesus Christ referred to himself as the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Obviously, we can see pretty well in this room this morning because we have lights on. We could probably see if all the lights were turned on. Let's not do it, Gary. But if we, if the lights were turned off, we still have some sunlight, we would be able to see. Light is vitally important to us on planet Earth. And light has been defined as the form of energy that makes it possible for us to see. I'm going to repeat that. That's a very basic definition of light. What is light? It's the form of energy that makes it possible for us to see. You know, when you tie that over to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that Jesus Christ is necessary for us to really understand what life is all about and what the life in the future is all about. And apart from Jesus Christ, there's all kinds of speculation on what is the purpose of life, why am I here, where am I going. All these things are really only answered through the Word of God and ultimately through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the energy that makes it possible for us to see why we're here, where we're going, and what is ahead in the future. Now, beginning four Sundays before Christmas, we have what has been called the Advent season. The word Advent is the word that means coming. And this is the season where we anticipate the first coming of Christ. Now, we know that Christ has already come for us, but the Advent season is the season which we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ came. Most of you have heard before that the first prophecy in Scripture regarding the coming of Christ is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And here the Lord God is speaking to the serpent, to Satan, who had already deceived Adam and Eve. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, the seed of the woman, will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now the bruising of the heel of Christ, of course, refers to the fact that Satan often tried during our Lord's ministry to stop him from going to the cross for us, which we celebrated this morning. But the bruising of the head refers to the fact that when Christ died on the cross, he was buried and he rose again. He broke the power of Satan. And when you and I trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're taken out of the kingdom of Satan. We're placed in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Satan's power was broken over us, you see, because Christ crushed the head of Satan on the cross. Now, one of the things that's hard to understand, and I realize that, and we share it when we're being realistic with Scripture, is why is Satan still active in our world today? I don't know if I have all the answers to that, but I do know one thing that's an overall answer to it. And that is that ultimately, God's still going to be glorified, even though Satan is active in our world today. And God is reaching down into our world and bringing people into relationship to himself. As you well know, there are people that you know who have no relationship with God, who do not enjoy a time at the communion table like we did this morning, where we draw close to our Lord. But we know that ultimately, Christ has defeated Satan, and Satan in Revelation chapter 20 will be cast into the lake of fire. His power, his rule was broken at the cross. Now again, we celebrate the coming of Christ at this season of the year. And another prophecy of the coming of Christ is found in the 8th century by the prophet Isaiah, who said, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And we sang Emmanuel this morning, which means God with us. So again, I mentioned that it's a wonderful time of the year to be able to share your faith with people who, well, they might be enjoying Christmas, but they don't understand the real meaning of Christmas, that Jesus Christ, God the Son, left the glories of heaven and came down here for you and to me, for me rather, and His presence is here among us. We sang that song this morning, O Come, Emmanuel. And again, that song was written by one who anticipated for the people of Israel the coming of their Messiah. There are many, many terms in Scripture that are used for Christ. He's called Emmanuel. He's called the Lord of Might. He's called the Rod of Jesse. He's called the Day Spring on High. Oh, let's look at that one. Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. This is another reference for Jesus Christ as the light that sometimes is overlooked in Scripture. Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79, where you have Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, who is referring to the coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring, there it is, there's that reference for Christ, the day spring from on high will visit us to give, here's the word again we're looking at this morning, we're concentrating on the fact that Christ is the light, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Zacharias is looking with anticipation for the fact that, yes, John the Baptist has been born, the forerunner of Christ, the one who would announce that Christ is here, the Messiah has come. But he also refers to Christ as the day spring on high. And that's an interesting Greek word. It's the word Anatol. Some of you have driven through Dallas and you've seen that large hotel. It's called the Anatol. And my curiosity's up. I wondered if they named it in relationship to Jesus Christ, or I just wonder if they had in mind the fact that Anatol means sun rising, the first light of dawn. Well, Zacharias is saying when the Messiah comes, light's going to come to our dark world. That's what he has in mind. The one who came down from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who always existed in heaven and eternity past, he's the Anatol. He's the day spring on high, and he will bring great light. Look at verse 79 again. I love to read this portion of Scripture. Verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Jesus Christ is the great life who came, light who came from heaven. Now stay with me for a few minutes. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Here's another prophecy concerning Jesus Christ coming as the light. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. No more gloom for the people of Israel. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her, these lands. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Now, look at this reference. In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. It's very interesting when we go back over, and I want you to turn one more time to Matthew chapter 4. Got to see this. It's very important that we understand that Jesus came as the light of the world to give light to areas that were very dark spiritually. Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Matthew 4, 13 to 17. I'll pick it up at verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, John the Baptist, put into prison for preaching repentance of sin through the coming Messiah, he departed to Galilee. Here's Jesus going up into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of, here we go, 800 years prior, it was prophesied that Jesus, the Messiah, would go into this area, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned." How interesting that the Lord Jesus literally began his ministry in the area of Galilee. And it's an area that was greatly filled with non-Jews, Gentile peoples. Christ went there as a messenger of the Father in heaven, taking the message of life. Galilee of the Gentiles. In fact, it says very clearly, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. You know, I looked at this and I said, wow. The person of Jesus Christ going in through the country and the land of Galilee, he's the Son of God that left the glories of heaven. He's the one communicating the truth of how you can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. But it's so amazing that multitudes of people did not receive him. And yet he's the great light. And it reminded me of the fact that it's possible for someone to continue to hear about Jesus Christ, the fact that he loves them, that he died on the cross and paid the price for their sin, and still sometimes people do not receive Christ as their Savior. He's the great light. And you know, there's certain areas of our world today that are what we would call great in the area of darkness. The spiritual darkness at the time Christ came was enormous. But Jesus Christ came as the light of the world, and he was rejected. That verse was read for us. He came unto his own. Even people down in the area of Jerusalem and Judea, in that area, these were Jewish people who were not really anticipating the coming of the Messiah. Now, those who accepted Christ were those who were taught in the Scriptures and were taught that the Messiah would come. There were a few who were looking for the coming Messiah, but multitudes of people, even in Jerusalem area, Judea area, as well as up in the Galilee area, they saw the great light, but they did not respond to it. How interesting to consider. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now you notice that Jesus said there, "I'm the light of the world." Jesus Christ is the one who came to give life to anyone in any country, in any culture, who would accept him as Lord and Savior. By the way, when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he was claiming to be God. Very important. Once in a while you'll hear, as Doak mentioned at the service yesterday, people will say, "Well, I accept God, but I don't accept Jesus Christ." And as John 1 says, you can't do that. Because God exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you say, "I accept God," then you have to accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important. Keep that in mind. I'm going to repeat it. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," I am the one who has come to shed light on all the cultures and all the nations of the earth. And that's what he said. He was claiming to be God the Son. Now, when he said that also, he said that in what has been called the court of the women in the temple area. It was an area where a lot of people came and they worshiped God. It's an awesome area that was created for people to come from all nations and gather together to worship the Lord. And in that courtyard, there were four huge candelabras, or menorahs sometimes they're called. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, these were lit. And we are told from Bible backgrounds that the light in that temple area would literally, and they didn't have the kind of lights that we have today, but the light in that area would shine up into the sky, into the night sky, and people would be reminded of the light that God provides. Well, Jesus said, "I am the light that has been provided for you." And I love how he said, not only was he the light of the world to give understanding of why we're here and what the future holds, but he says, "Those who follow me shall not walk in darkness." In other words, when you come to Jesus Christ, you do not have to be burdened about walking in the darkness, walking in sin, walking in disobedience to God. When we follow Christ, we follow the one who leads us on the path of life. You're very familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." You know, daily we have to remind ourselves that we want to do the will of God. This is the day, Lord, that You've made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Help us, Lord, this day to be doing Your will. Every morning we should be saying to the Lord, "Lord, what do You want me to do today?" You see, Christ came as the light of the world to guide us, not only in the life to come, but also in this world. Now, it's interesting when you look at Scripture and you say, okay, I got it. I got the point. Christ came to shine the light on how we should live now and what's ahead for us in the future. Think of the promises that Jesus made. Just isolate the promises from the Word of God that Jesus made with regards to life now. Listen to a few of them. One of them, Jesus said, "I will send the Holy Spirit to you. He will guide you into all truth. He will teach you. He will enable you to live for me. He will give you the power that you need in life." All right? Now, that's saying a lot. That's saying that God never designed that we should live the Christian life on our own. We're to live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we're facing something that looks like quite a task and quite a call from God for us to do, we say, "Lord, I'll do it if You're leading me, but I need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it." See, Christ put that light on His Word to remind us, yes, there are things that God wants us to do that may be huge in our minds with regards to what we can do. But through the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Think of some of the other major promises of the Lord. The Lord says, "I will teach you to pray. Everyone who seeks will find. Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who knocks, it shall be opened to them." The Lord says, if you have a need, ask, seek, and knock. There's some things we just ask the Lord for, and it's amazing what He does. There are other things that come into our lives and experience where we have to really seek the Lord. It's not just one quick prayer. And then other things, well, we kind of got to knock on the door, because He doesn't always answer right away in a way we would like Him to. So the Lord says, yeah, I'm going to teach you to pray. So the spotlight of Christ as the light of the world goes on the things that He has said. He has said, "I will send the Holy Spirit to you." He said, "I will teach you to pray." He said, "I will always be with you." Matthew chapter 28, the constant presence of Christ. The Lord Jesus said, before He ascended up into heaven, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So wait a minute. Here we are as children of God. We have a relationship with God. Does He anticipate that we will continue to have to live the Christian life on our own with all the responsibilities that are given in His Word? No. The Lord says, here comes the light of Christ. "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, all the days of your life." There's the spotlight of Christ. Emmanuel, Christ present with us. And of course, there's another provision. And when you think of these provisions, you say, wow, you mean God's going to continue to supply for me? Absolutely, yes. That's one of the most important teachings in the Word of God. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes on me shall never thirst." Obviously, He's speaking about spiritual needs. But the point is, that he's the one who promises to constantly supply for us. Yes, he said, I am the light of the world. And when you read the Word of God and you read these promises of Jesus Christ, you see, they're meaningful to you. You say, I've got to work this out in my life and experience. I've got to believe that Jesus is always going to be with me. I've got to believe those verses that say, my God shall supply all of your need, because Christ came as the light of the world. And he gave that light not only for the life to come, but for the life that we live here and now. You know, when you stop to think about it, there are many, many people, and some we know, who are walking in darkness. They don't really know what the future holds. They're not really sure what God wants them to do today. They're walking in darkness. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Satan blinds the minds of those that are lost, lest they should see the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, shine in the face of Jesus Christ. So you and I need to realize that there are people around us who do not know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And they really can't see what you see. They don't see the true meaning of Christmas. They don't see the fact that God promised to supply our needs as his people here in this life. They don't see the fact that when we have faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus said, that here we go with the light of Christ on the Word of God. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Multitudes of people, if you would ask them, are you certain of where you will go when you die? They will not be certain. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the light of life, you know where you will go when you die. It's interesting that the Lord in his word refers to Christ as the light of the world. And then Jesus comes along and he says to us, he said, you are the light of the world. Put them together. Christ alone shows us what life is all about and the life to come. But now that we know what life is like and the life to come, Jesus says to you and to me, you are the light of the world. In fact, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What's the point? The point is that God uses you and he uses me to tell others that they can really understand what life is all about. And they can really understand that there's a heaven and there's an eternal dwelling place for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I looked for an example of someone who was letting his light shine. And I found a good one. Listen to this one just quickly. You see, God wants to use you wherever you are to be a light for Christ. He's the light of the world, but now he uses his people. Listen to this one. Woodrow Wilson, former president, told the story of being in a barber shop one time. And he said, I was sitting in the barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut. And he sat down in the chair next to me. Every word that man uttered showed a personal interest in the man who was cutting his hair. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service because Dwight L. Moody was the man sitting in the chair next to me. I purposefully lingered in the room after Moody left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the men in the barbershop. They talked quietly. They did not know his name, but they all knew that their thoughts had been elevated, and I felt myself, Woodrow Wilson, that I had left the place, that place, as if it had been a very place of worship. He was letting His light shine, wasn't He? And we can do the same thing. You and I know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And we know He's the light of the world. We know He's the only one who saves. He's an awesome and glorious God. And yes, I looked at that passage, those passages in the gospel, and it says the light of Christ, Christ Himself went through, and some people still didn't believe. That's okay. Well, in one sense it's okay, in another sense it's not okay. They didn't respond to the Lord. So sometimes you will share your knowledge of Christ. You will tell someone of the glories of Christ and the fact that He came and died in our place and for our sin. And they may not respond. But keep sowing the seed. Keep your light shining. Remember, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." There's a song that we sing usually during the missions conference. And it's like this. We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom someday will come to earth, the kingdom of love and of light. We've got the light. Let's keep it shining. Let's pray together.